This podcast was recorded Friday, December 10th at 11:02 a.m. Things may have changed by the time you hear this.
Yeah, like Ohio will roll out sports betting just as smoothly as casino gambling and medical marijuana. Oh, wait, those were terrible.
Yeah, those were not smooth. Let's talk politics.
This is Snollygoster, WOSU Public Media's weekly look at Ohio politics and those Snollygosters who shrewdly try to bend the Constitution to meet their political goals. I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Mike Thompson. Coming up in the podcast, we'll look at how Ohio will allow us to bet on the Browns to cover the spread, legally, that is. But first, Ohio's creatively drawn state legislative districts are now in the hands of the Ohio Supreme Court.
Yeah, the state's top justices heard nearly 90 minutes of arguments about the fairness of Ohio's new map of state Senate and state House legislative districts this week. These are the maps that give Republicans a supermajority in the state legislature. Even though Ohio is fairly evenly divided politically, and the new constitutional amendment says lawmakers should not draw maps that create a partisan advantage.
On one side, the attorney for Good Government Groups and the American Civil Liberties Union, Fred Levinson, argued the Redistricting Commission ignored the Constitution and the will of Ohio voters.
Ohio voters listened and in 2015 voted overwhelmingly in a bipartisan basis to supply this and more language to end the scourge of gerrymandering in our state starting in 2021.
On the other side, the attorney for Republican leaders Philip Strack argued the map approved was less partisan than an original map because Republicans tried to compromise.
The commission could have said, you know what, we can't cut a deal. We've complied with the anti-gerrymandering requirements. We're going to go back and we're going to adopt that 67 Republican-leaning House plan. We're going to do that because we can. They didn't do that.
Now, the conventional wisdom says, remember what they say about conventional wisdom, though, when it comes to predicting court decisions, it's often less than wise. But the conventional wisdom says the three Democrats on the Ohio Supreme Court will vote to overturn the maps, the three Republicans will vote to uphold them, and Chief Justice Maureen O'Connor, who's also a Republican, will be the swing vote.
She is indeed a Republican, but moderate in some of her judicial views. And during the arguments, she did seem troubled by the math Republicans used to justify their maps.
My concern or question is you have the voting tallies, and for the statewide office holders, it comes up to 54-46. Is that, you understand?
That's if you look at votes cast.
Well, that's what we're supposed to do.
Not necessarily.
Okay.
The Constitution uses the term election results.
Okay.
That could mean votes cast.
That is some expert parsing of words there because, well, first of all, what the hell does statewide elections have to do with legislative maps?
Yeah.
When it comes to legislative races, the number of votes cast is much closer. In 2016 and 2018, it was damn near 50% of votes cast were for Republicans or for Democrats.
But what the attorney for the legislative leaders argued, if you look at the 10 years, past 10 years, all statewide races, Republican candidates, you know, Governor DeWine being the latest big name to win, 8 out of 10 of those races were won by Republicans. So that is an accurate way of showing the partisan nature of Ohio. It's a stretch, but
The statewide elections have nothing to do with legislative elections.
You know, the problem is, it comes down to bad writing in the Constitution. Here's how the amendment reads. The Ohio Redistricting Commission shall attempt to draw a General Assembly district plan that is not drawn to favor or disfavor a political party. The amendment does not define how to measure that statewide preference. And how do you define attempt? I mean, do you just try a little?
Right.
Do you try a lot? Do you come this close? Oh, we just missed it.
Or
you just
listeners.
Like, is it a token event?
I wish the listeners could see your hand language right now.
It was probably the folks who wrote this. Any lawyer will take any word. Remember Bill Clinton with the definition of the word is. Any lawyer will take any word and parse it. But it's just face it. It's just looking at this. They tried. They failed. And they argue that they...
Well, the commission didn't try. Well, no, sorry. This is legislative. Yeah. Forgive me. I get this confused with congressional maps sometimes. But yeah, the commission did pass this map. Yeah. I guess they tried.
They did. The lawyers said the first map was even worse. It was like 67% for the Republicans, and the next one was 64. So they got a little better, and so they tried. And they also argue that the constitutional amendment does include a penalty for not meeting the bipartisan goal of this amendment, and that is the map only lasts 4 years.
Yeah.
And this map would only last 4 years. So legally, they have an argument that we attempted to draw a district plan that is not drawn to favor or disfavor a political party. We tried, and because we couldn't get bipartisan support, the amendment has a remedy for that. That's only a four-year map.
Well, thank God that my common sense doesn't have the same burden of proof as the Ohio Constitution, because they did not try, really. I mean, this is – and – they don't have a punishment. It's who cares if they have to go back to this in 4 years, right? We've been over this repeatedly.
Yeah.
Why would you care if you're a lawmaker that you have to do this again in 4 years? It's not that much work. I imagine it's done 95% by a computer program.
Yeah. No, that's why it's become so sort of foolproof, these maps, because they do it by, you know, right down to the housing parcel.
Yeah. So now you have to hit enter on your computer every 4 years instead of every 10 years.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see how Maureen O'Connor comes down on this, because she got a little Freudian slip there, you heard. She was unconcerned and she caught herself. So I question, because she's not supposed to express an opinion during these oral arguments, but it kind of snuck through there that she has concern that they're not using the 54-46% measurement to determine the partisan makeup of Ohio. But she also then sort of said that maybe there is an argument that the 81% of statewide elections have been won by Republicans. So she'll have to decide that. That's what it's got to come down to. That's what it's got to come down to. Because the rest of it is constitutional. They didn't split communities in violation of the amendment.
Right.
They kept districts compact. They relatively met all the deadlines. The remedy is the four-year map. So all those things really aren't in question. It's does the map favor one political party or the other? It clearly does, but is it unconstitutional?
Yeah, it's just a coincidence, right, that the map doesn't favor the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
It's not a math problem. It's a political problem, and this will always happen as long as you have politicians in charge. Even with these reforms that voters approved in 2015, it's always going to be a part of the process unless you somehow, some way, have a completely independent, nonpartisan body that draws districts. And then if you did that... Those people become politicians. I don't know how you would fix that.
Yeah, they're a little more insulated. Some states have those, and it's a little – and some states significantly less political, and they draw more fair maps. There's no perfect system. But I'm curious to see what happens if the Supreme Court overturns these maps, because they would have to go back to the Redistricting Commission.
Right. The court can't draw a new map.
Yeah. So it would kick it back to the Redistricting Commission, who would try again, presumably. Or – the lawmakers, the legislative leaders could appeal this to the U.S. Supreme Court, and the U.S. Supreme Court has already said political gerrymandering is constitutional. The courts don't want anything to do with it. You can't violate the Voting Rights Act. You can't gerrymander districts based on race and things like that. But for political reasons, they said go for it.
That's so unfortunate that it's okay for lawmakers to choose their voters. And we said this many times. Democrats do this too when they're in charge. And, you know, Illinois has one of the most gerrymandered maps in the country. It's gerrymandered to favor Democrats. And it's so gross and really sad that lawmakers get to do this.
Yeah, and the courts argue that if voters don't want this system, it's up to them and not the courts to change it. And, you know, there's a legitimate argument that crosses that line that separates the judiciary from the legislator, from the electoral process.
And they're gaining a little traction as far as getting the lay voter interested in this, because for years it's just been a snooze fest whenever you try to talk about redistricting and gerrymandering. And, you know, I think it is more front of mind for voters now, but it's still not the sexiest topic. I mean, you're talking about computer programs and packing and cracking is the coolest way to describe it. I mean, that's not an easy sell.
Yeah, regardless of how this turns out, you will see this back on the ballot, I think, within the next 5 years.
Yeah, I would think so, too. I mean, because
the groups are going to try to go full in on an independent commission, I would guess. I haven't heard anybody, haven't talked to anybody who's going to push that, but this system didn't work. and at least as of right now, it hasn't worked. And they're going to try it again.
That's what Democrats should do, honestly. I mean, why would they do anything else? They can't rely on this system to work.
Nope.
Anyway, we'll be right back.
On All Sides with Ann Fisher, we cover the topics that affect life in Central Ohio, from immigration to the economy to the continuing opioid crisis.
But the reality is, if you don't save someone who's overdosed, they have no opportunity to recover.
Hear thoughtful, in-depth conversations about the issues that matter now. Subscribe to the All Sides with Ann Fisher podcast at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media. Have you seen those old movies where gamblers at the track rush to the betting window to put their money on their favorite horse? Well, that's the urgency that Ohio lawmakers had this week when they very quickly presented and passed a bill that would allow legal sports betting in Ohio in just about a year.
Yeah, it didn't take them long. By the start of 2023, you'll be able to bet legally on the Buckeyes, the Browns, the Bengals, the Blue Jackets, and of course, the Guardians.
Yeah, if you don't like your money, you can bet on all those teams. It would create...
You can bet on them to lose, Steve.
It would allow for what we can call here 25 big licenses, likely held by casinos and sports franchises that can also include online betting. The law would also allow for smaller licenses at certain bars and restaurants. Think Keno, kind of, is what I'm imagining it would look like. The state would collect 10% of the sports betting profits to spend on schools and gambling prevention programs and some for veteran services. Hopefully that would go better than the lottery commission spending money on schools. That just hasn't worked out.
Well, the Ohio Casino Control Commission will run this system, not the lottery commission. As former Speaker Larry Householder wanted, he wanted the lottery commission to run sports
which has
betting.
The lottery commission has notoriously decreased the amount of profits that go to schools.
The promises.
It's a slush fund, what it's become.
Have never lived up to it. But, you know, Governor DeWine says he'll sign it. We all knew it was just a matter of time. There's a lot of money out there to be made on sports betting. We've already seen the regional sports networks in Ohio change their name to a gambling company, Bally Sports Network, it is now. And so you knew it was coming. It was just a matter of time. And it seems like a decent deal. It's not going to be a monopoly. But casinos will control all the online smartphone betting, which is where the big money is, because that's how most of these bets are placed. And you sit at your couch and do you bet that the guy makes or misses the field goal, or do you bet that they run or pass and that kind of thing.
This is a boon for those companies that get to control these licenses. I don't think it really means that much for consumers, because people who want to bet online are already betting online. I mean, they don't check your ISP address. You can bet in West Virginia, or you can bet wherever it's legal on your phone. You don't have to be in that state.
Well, I think they do have some guardrails. You know, they can locate your phone. And
so you can't bet on your phone. An Ohioan can't bet online?
I don't believe we can bet on using New Jersey's system, for instance. They know where you are.
I do know that people still bet online. Yeah. I know it happens. And I guess this will good for the state of Ohio for getting tax money out of it, and good for Hollywood Casino here in Columbus and all the others around the state of Ohio for getting their cut. And then bars and restaurants, if they get a few bucks every day from their Keno-like setup, then good for them, I guess.
You always wonder about the problem gamblers, and is this just another outlet for them to lose money?
Cause probably. It always is.
I mean, gambling is generally a money loser for those who gamble. You know, this past year, Ohio set a record. We have a month to go, and we've already hit $2.1 billion in gambling revenue just at the casinos and racinos in Ohio. You wonder, is that money going to go up? Are we going to go to $3 billion in 2023? Or will sports betting take some of that casino gambling and put it towards, betting on the Bengals?
Yeah, I don't know. I would hope there's only so much money to be split. I mean, I'm saying that from a standpoint. I don't want people to lose their houses and lose their kids' college funds because they're addicted to gambling. I would hope that there's not a ton more money going into the industry, but at least the state gets their cut. I mean, I think it's money that's being spent largely already. I mean, it's like recreational pot. Like, why not just legalize it and get taxes out of it?
Yeah, people have been betting on sports, since they've been sports.
I bet you
the ancient Greeks
and
Romans.
Joe Jackson.
We're betting on it. And, but yeah, so now it's going to be regulated, and the state will get some money out of it. But it could also attract folks into this gambling world who perhaps weren't in the past.
Time now for our Snollygoster of the Week award. We give it out every week to the shrewdest politician or political move. This week, it goes to the Ohio Chamber of Commerce. For weeks, the chamber and its president, former Congressman Steve Stivers, have railed against the Ohio legislature for pushing a ban on private companies imposing vaccine mandates on their employees.
Well, now the chamber and Stivers are railing against President Joe Biden for his mandate that companies with more than 100 employees mandate they get vaccinated. So they're both for and against the mandates. But, the, you know, really, the chamber is being consistent. It really is. It opposes government interference in private business, whether the government is restricting mandates or imposing mandates. So you have to give them credit for that.
But it's also a shrewd way to appease their members on both sides of the vaccine mandate issue. It's almost like the chamber is run by a well-seasoned politician.
Yeah. Well, so that's the case here. A little politics, little shrewd riding the fence by the Ohio Chamber of Commerce earns them our Snollygoster of the Week Award. If you have a suggestion for our Snollygoster of the Week Award, please email us at snollygoster@wosu.org.
Also, Steve Stivers, a friend of Snollygoster.
Yes.
Met him on. He was funny.
When he left, announced he was leaving Congress.
He was a nice guy.
I bet he misses Congress.
Why?
I don't think he does.
Yes, what, the debt ceiling? God, so horrible. Anyway, that will do it for this week's edition. Until next week, for our audio producer, Eric French, and our web producer, Michael DeBonis, I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Mike Thompson for Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media.